Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed. Always.
Questions that aren't being answered.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to yet another episode of Dangerous World Podcast, whether you want it or not. How you feeling this evening, buddy?
Good, man. You just interrupted my jerk-off time, but I was super happy to have that interrupted by Wonderful. Someone so nice as deplorable Janet here today. Man, this episode that you guys are going to listen to is so fun. It is really, really technical, too. I don't want that to take away from the fun-sounding part of it, but this girl knows her shit, man.
She does, man. She's a retired nurse, very, very knowledgeable individual. This is deplorable Janet that we're speaking of here. I don't know if we said her name already. I'm a little drunk, believe it or not. But deplorable Janet, been banned from the get-go, as she mentions. I'm not sure why. She's stating facts. She's backing it up with knowledge, some research, quite a bit of research, and quite a bit of experience. So sure, a lot of you know her from the podcast that she has been on, appeared on. Her podcast, Deplorable Nation, is on Podbean and Google Play, and I urge you guys to sign up on Podbean. You can leave reviews. You can leave likes. It's kind of like the social media for podcasting. It's very, very fun. But again, Deplorable Nation with Deplorable Janet on Podbean and Google Play. Incredibly easy person to talk to, incredibly fun to listen to, and as Brandon mentioned, her voice just has something to where it's just like, it's like butter for your ears, man. It what's coming out of her mouth isn't stupid, you know what I mean? In the episode, we talk about AIDS, we talk about you know, how HIV and AIDS don't really line up as far as HIV causing AIDS, the similarities with COVID-19. You know, we got to talk about Fauci and Gates, the Vax brothers, as we mentioned here. We talk about Barry, which you'll find out who Barry is in the later part of the episode. It's a little interesting. And then we talk about menstrual cycles, which is very interesting. A couple of dudes talking about menstrual cycles with a retired nurse. Nothing weird about it. Again, it would be weird if it wasn't with someone like Janet here, who is just a phenomenal character out there. Really, really great voice in the world of conspiracy truth, and just alternative research. So with all due respect, I hope you guys enjoy this episode, man. This is a great, great character, great person, great everything. And she's got a great show. Again, Deplorable Nation on Podbean. Check that shit out.
Enjoy the conspiracy ASMR, guys.
Guys like Fauci get up there and start talking. You know, he doesn't know anything really about anything. And I'd say that to his face. Nothing. The man thinks you can take a blood sample and stick it in an electron microscope, and if it's got a virus in there, you'll know it. He doesn't understand electron microscopy, and he doesn't understand medicine. And he should not be in a position like he's in. Most of those guys up there on the top are just total administrative people, and they don't know anything about what's going on the bottom. You know, those guys have got an agenda, which is not what we would like them to have, being that we pay for them to take care of our health in some way. They've got a personal kind of agenda. They make up their own rules as they go. They change them when they want to. And they smugly, like Tony Fauci, does not mind going on television in front of the people that pay his salary and lie directly into the camera.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dangerous World Podcast with your hosts, Ryan and Brandon. We brought on a very, very fun guest this evening. Deplorable Nation host, Deplorable Janet. How are you doing this evening?
Fantastic. Already hitting the brews.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I see you got a Christmas tree behind you. That's interesting. What is this?
It's not actually a Christmas tree. I'm like into the cabin-y type stuff.
Okay.
And so yeah, I don't like the frou-frou flowers and things like that. So we have like antlers and stuff all over.
I like it. I like it. Well, so, you know, we wanted to bring you on this evening. You know, just to kind of talk about this interesting topic. We're in a very, very interesting climate. What are you drinking this evening, though, first of all? That's something that we always kind of do. We go around the horn, say what we're drinking.
The cheap stuff, Natural Light, the tall ones. You can get a case here for $14. So there you go.
That's how we know you're a G. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's right.
Like, That's I right. like that.
Hey, no, like growing up when I did, like my parents always had red, white, and blue in the refrigerator. Or Schlitz. Pabst.
I like it. I like that a lot. You know, it doesn't matter if you're drinking cheap stuff. That's like the most responsible way to drink, in my opinion. If you're drinking like cheaper versus expensive, because if you're going to drink a lot, you want to get the alcohol intake. You want to save
Absolutely.
Your wallet. So yeah. I hear you there. Brandon, what are you sipping on? And how are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I have got a Guinness, which true to form, I think I put in the freezer so that it would cool down and then drank the other five and left this one in the freezer. So it's like a, you know, it's like a, it's like a white trash milkshake still. It's really, really good. No, I'm doing good, man, except that second vaccine shot, man. Well, I tell you, my blood, it's like it's I got more clots in my blood than like a can of cottage cheese right now, man. If I was to give a blood draw, they'd have to use a cheesecloth or something, man. It's bad. It's bad.
That's disgusting, Brandon. You know, and that's the thing is that we're going to get into this whole thing because Janet, she's a retired nurse. I'm sure a lot of you all know. You're familiar with her. You've been on a lot of, you know, huge podcasts. Not to make myself seem like a complete fuck up, but I'm drinking Jim Beam Fire because it was $7 at Walmart. So it's disgusting. Nice. I'm going to probably wake up with a mean hangover tomorrow, but you know, we do this for you guys. Okay. So, you know, the episodes where I get a little more intoxicated, those are the ones that are more fun. I mispronounce words. I kind of lash out at people a little bit. But we're not going to do that this evening. We're going to keep it very civil. And the alcohol, we're just going to talk about vaccines.
The alcohol gets a little bit too much blame on that one, Ryan. I'll tell
I was going to say, bring it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is I know that with someone like with deplorable Janet here, I know that I will be put in my place very quickly. So we are definitely going to be respectful all around here. But Janet, with your experience in the medical industry, like just right away, and I know that this is a question that you haven't been asked yet, but what do you think about the COVID-19 pandemic?
What do I think about it? I think that it was definitely lab created because it takes literally years and years to jump from an animal into a human host. Those are things that are easily manipulated. It's happened in the past with other types of viruses and, you know, bacteria, things like that. Definitely lab created, and they picked something that because of the shape, because you guys know it's like the round ball and it's got the
crown
points on it that looks
That's
like
what they tell us. Yeah.
Those are called spikes, spike proteins. And those are fantastic things to use if you want to infect a lot of people because spike proteins actually attach to the cells easier than regular shaped bacteria or viruses. And so it's easier for it to adhere to the cell, and it adheres to things like ACE cells. You guys, I'm sure, like a lot of people are on ACE2 inhibitors for heart problems, things like that. And so you find ACE cells in different parts of the body. It's on the lungs, it's on the hearts, and the respiratory tract itself can be in the nasal passages. And so that is where you get the more dangerous portion of it. Because if you think about, it's like a cocklebur that you would find out in the woods. And so once it spikes on your pants, it doesn't let go, does it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Very so, easily I mean, dig in deeper. Yeah, just to say it's just the perfect shape, but it's just the type that will dig in deeper if it's, you know, even applied any kind of like cellular force against it. Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
Yep.
Well, so, I mean, that's kind of the thing is when we're seeing so many people that are infected with or dying, I should say, of COVID, they have more times than not, they've got, what do we call them? Pre-existing conditions.
Comorbidities.
The United States is full of pre-existing conditions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
We eat fast food. Everyone's got heart disease. Everyone's got diabetes. Everyone's got a weight problem. So that shouldn't be counted in here. But what we got you on to talk about with your experience in the medical industry, you're a retired nurse, very knowledgeable in all of this stuff. What do you see similar with the AIDS sort of epidemic that was going on back then?
Because
Fauci was involved with both.
Right. He was. And you have to stop and think, if you look up an AIDS virus, sure, and what it looks like, it very closely resembles coronavirus. Really? It has spiked proteins on it as well. And here's something I want you to think about. With the normal body system, you have DNA. Your DNA is what creates your RNA. In HIV and AIDS, it is a reverse retrovirus, which means that it already carries mRNA, and then it will create its own DNA chain. And so, you guys ever see the movie The Patriot?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
Okay. So think about, like, anytime they assembled for battle, you know, they have the regular foot soldiers in the front that, you know, carry a pitchfork or whatever it may be. And then you've got people behind them that maybe have like spears or javelin type things. Then you have archers, then you have people on horseback. And so that's your normal chain of events or your normal DNA. And so if you reverse that and you put like the horseback riders in the front and you reverse all the order, and then you put the, you know, the foot soldiers in the back, that's exactly what happens with the retrovirus. It is mRNA, and then it reverses and creates the DNA. And if you think about how both of them look similar, they both have the spike proteins on them. They both adhere to the same cells. They both attack the respiratory system. And even though they're telling you that they're different, it's not different, because the coronavirus is an mRNA thing. Is the vaccine not an mRNA vaccination?
Absolutely. Well, some of them are, right?
Which means it works in reverse, correct? That's the way that science goes.
Yeah,
your DNA, your DNA creates the mRNA. And if you're giving the mRNA, it's going to reverse things just like the retrovirus does.
Go ahead. That's similarity was noted in a scientific article recently, which that's the place I would go to first. This one in particular was called "The Uncanny Similarity of Unique mm-hmm. Inserts in the 2019 nCoV Spike Protein to HIV-1 GP120 and GAG." Now, I want to ask you though, because this was published early last year. I'm always curious about the way that conspiracy realists, theorists, whatever you like to call yourself, your guys' selves,
are intelligent critical thinkers.
There we go. I'll go with that. what's the rationale when you hear that the authors themselves of that article have since retracted it? I understand that people can get bullied into pulling their paperwork away and peers review it.
Right.
What's the dynamic do you think is at work there? And what are the agencies most responsible, do you think?
I think you're looking at the CDC. You're looking at the National Institute of Health. You're looking at all the people that stand to gain the most. Because if you think about it, as a business complex, this CDC is very, very heavily involved investment wise in Big Pharma and all of the Big Pharma companies. And so it's to their best benefit to hide, just like they do with every study that's ever published. You know, if they don't like the information that's being put out, they pressure you, or they take away research funding, or, you know, whatever it is, because they have a cause to further, and their furtherization of this is to get this vaccine fully approved and mandatory for everybody and put on the drug schedule, because they all stand to make billions of dollars.
And talking more about the shape of that pressure that they'd mm-hmm. be applying, from the reporting on this article and the way that the authors retracted it, it seems to me that if that kind of a conspiracy was going on, that the authors themselves would have been pulled into a room. I don't know if you mm-hmm. think that they're just trained enough at that level to not ask questions, not ask why. But I mean, do you imagine this looking like damn near gunpoint? I mean, is this like House of Cards kind of deals?
Yes, and if you think about like and relating this to the Chauvin trial, okay, not going to get into the details of that, but like the threats that were made against the jurors, the threats that were made against the judges. We know where you live. We know what your name is. We know where you work. We'll destroy your career. We'll destroy your family. We'll make it difficult for your kids at school. We'll do anything we can. They're very dirty people. And people that are in the medical complex community are some of the dirtiest, shadiest people that I can personally tell you I have ever been around. And they do. They threaten not only you and your career, but they threaten your family members, your livelihood. Well, you're going to lose, you know, your license and you'll never practice again, you know, and that's what they do. It's commonplace.
Well, since we're talking about business and blackmail and all this stuff, I mean, you can Google who the most powerful doctor in the world is. And it's Bill Gates, according to Google, right?
Yeah,
Bill Gates, from what I understand, hasn't done any kind of medical research. You know, he's just basically one of these Rockefeller cronies. And yes. John D. Rockefeller basically monopolized media and medicine mm-hmm. after he realized that medicine could be created from petroleum, right?
Right, and that's correct.
He did this entire thing where these medications that were used for centuries, you know, plant-based, mm-hmm. mineral-based, like all these actual healthy things, you know, he indoctrinated the youth and the educational system, and he tells mm-hmm. them that that's all, you know, garbage, quack science, that's bullshit. And so when you have all of these people just pushing this stuff out, and then you start seeing a rise in cancer, he taps into this Marjorie Illig, who creates the American Cancer Society, right? And then so you're monetizing the bad drugs that go out and create cancer mm-hmm. or cause cancer, I should say. And then you're monetizing the cancer treatments, which are not really helping in a lot of cases. A lot of times the treatment is worse than the actual cancer. Chemotherapy, from what I understand, is mm-hmm. horrible for you.
It is.
You know, I've a lot of my, you know, family members and things like this have passed on from cancer and things like that. So it's a very... it's a diabolical system that these people run, and it's worse than House of Cards, right? I mean, like, this is kind of like, we think that like Kevin Spacey, and then especially when he comes out and like, this is like what we're seeing is like this dude that's just doing like the worst kinds of things. Then we see him as kind of this figurehead in the show. And we're like, that can't be how politics is, right? That's just too crazy. That's not even the half of it, man. I mean, like so many freaking people do so much worse. And I mean, I just can't get over the fact that Bill Gates is the most powerful doctor in the world. And he's heading this summit with 40 other nations led by Joe Biden. And they're going to basically kind of kickstart this Green New Deal thing, from what I mm-hmm. understand.
Right.
And I mean, there's nothing scientific about this party of science. Now, Brandon, I don't know if you have anything to say about, because Brandon's a big Bill Gates fan. Okay, Janet, I don't know if you know anyone that's a fan of Bill Gates, but, you know, in his defense, I used to think that Warren Buffett was a G, right? And because I was a big fan of investing. This is when I was in high school. I grew out of this. Brandon has not. So, you know, when I was all about investing and all this stuff, and I'm like, dude, there's just this multi-billionaire that's living in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And he's just got this crazy, you know, knowledge of stocks. He's able to bail out Wells Fargo and all this stuff. You know, let's not mention that he's connected to the Franklin scandal and all these other things. But
right.
These nefarious, I mean, there's no such thing as a freaking good billionaire, man. There just isn't. So, Brandon, I mean, what are your thoughts on Bill Gates right now? Just so Janet could kind of understand the good side of Bill Gates.
Well, I will tell you that it's most likely that you guys are just as far off of the Bill Gates boat as you can be. And rightfully so. You guys have done a great job. I've listened to you yourself mention Bill Gates quite a bit, Janet. So I'm familiar with your perspective on it. It does. With the theory that you mentioned with it, the modern medicine being linked to the production of petroleum, it does bring up a question that I had about one of your recent guests, Janet, on your show, the Black Pill guys. They were talking about germ theory. Now, germ theory is coming up around the time that the Industrial Revolution is taking off. Petroleum seems to be, it's not quite yet the giant that it will become in the future at the time that germ theory is being developed or not. But the Black Pill guys were there talking, like questioning even germ theory itself. I wonder, does your skepticism go towards even germ theory? Like, do we have... Because it's coming from, because these ideas are coming from elitist scientists and the elitist medical field, which I am, believe it or not, quite critical of myself. Do we even believe that? Does your skepticism go that far? I wonder.
It does, and there are a lot of actual scientists out there that will tell you that viruses and bacteria don't actually exist. There's a lot of research to prove that. There's a lot of research on both sides, and it all depends on what side of the coin you think about. But I will say, going even further with Mr. Gates of Hell, I did a show, okay, on hidden cancer cures and how the Rockefellers partnered with Carnegie to set up the medical system. They imprisoned a lot of naturopathic healers. They put them all in jail. That's when they changed the curriculum. They had this lovely individual that they brought in to write all of the curriculum for the medical schools. Bill Gates is involved with a lot of those. My favorite being Harvard.
Oh, yeah.
Big because fan. Harvard is Satan school, in my opinion. They do a lot of awful things. They were involved with, you know, Jeffrey Epstein. They're involved with Bill Gates. They're working on blocking out the sun, all these other things. But you had even mentioned, Ryan, the chemotherapy. In this episode that I talked about, where I brought all of these things about, you know, how they were doing the steel industry and petroleum, and that's how we got the fluoride and all of these other things, and they all tie together. And then the very first chemotherapy that they used on us was from mustard gas. Mustard gas was outlawed after, you know, the World War because, it's dangerous. But they brought it here and, of course, brought their German scientists here, and they were like, hey, this is a really great idea. This is really going to cure your patients.
Wow.
You know, and these are all the same thing. And if you look, you can actually go and look up the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You can see what their grants project was. I was on it for I don't know how many hours last night, seeing just from 2020 and 2021, the amount of money that they've given to every educational system in the United States, every college, every vaccine manufacturer, every pharmaceutical manufacturer, labs in China, shocker, the World Health Organization, like all of these entities under the guise of philanthropic work, which it's not, because Bill Gates was kicked out of a lot of places in Africa and India because of his vaccinations that not only caused deaths, it caused massive sterilization, it caused seizure activity, paralysis, all kinds of things. And so there's a lot of areas he's no longer allowed to be in because of the work that he does on vaccinations.
You know, Brandon and Sam Tripoli actually had that argument when they had a little conversation.
Still waiting for the evidence on that, by the way.
Well, he showed you. He showed you.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He literally got off and was like, listen, I don't want to get onto this. If you can show me evidence of the banned from India thing,
there's articles out there about that. Yeah. There's actual.
I know that there is articles about it. I'm just aware that there are
politicians
can also...
and stuff too that from India that have been very outspoken about him and how they even want to like file charges against him because of the injuries that he's caused. And think about this. I had this conversation earlier today with somebody because of his philanthropic work. Okay. And he bought what, 1.2 million acres of farmland here already.
Mm-hmm.
He's done the same thing in other countries where he basically gets in where it's remote, poor, underprivileged areas. He buys all of this land. He gives them all vaccinations. He definitely does their water supply and he does their food supply. Now, he's working on with Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson, meatless options. And Bill Gates already has meatless burgers. And if you think about, he's buying up all the farmland and, you know, it's to the point where we're not going to have like meat. They don't want us to have meat. And I made a joke with the guys from Black Pill and I was like, we were talking about cafeteria food. And I said, you know, we used to get this thing called chuck wagon patties. And it was like this grayish color meat. And it had these colored veins through it that looked like colored worms.
Agreed.
You know, and you got like red and green and blue and yellow, look like worms smashed into this gray looking patty thing.
Where was this? And that's
what, yeah. And that's what we got on our lunch tray. And I'm like, what is this? And they're like, hello, it's a chuck wagon patty. And I'm like, that looks that like some shit rough. I dug out of the bottom of my pool when I clean it. I'm just saying, like, I don't want to eat that. But if you think about with him pushing this meatless options and things, that includes because he wants to block out the sun, right?
Yeah.
Which means that your plants aren't going to grow.
Yeah.
Because if you block out the sun and you believe the globe theory, that means that the sun is what heats the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you block that out, you don't have photosynthesis for plants. They don't provide oxygenation, things like that. So we're going to be forced to eat whatever is still alive. Think about cockroaches.
Yeah. Yeah. They live forever.
Because they don't ever die.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see. We could be eating cockroach patties in the near future.
Well, and you know, you said so freaking much there. Like you have Bill Gates, who already is a major investor in the impossible meat, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I had this interesting theory that all the people that are vaccinated and were changing their DNA, or not we are, but they're changing their DNA. And if they do go through with their plans to block out the sun, maybe these people that are vaccinated won't need the sun to live. Because whether you believe in flat earth or round earth or whatever, the sun does give us crucial nutrients, vitamin D. It gives us a lot of things that we need. We cannot live without the sun as human beings in our current state, right?
Right.
Now, what if these people that are being vaccinated are able to live off of less protein, off of less vitamins and minerals and things like that? Now, that's just kind of a crazy theory. But you also mentioned the Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, kind of carrying the torch of the Rockefeller Foundation, which if I'm not mistaken, the Rockefeller Foundation is still around.
Right.
But they took every freaking page out of their book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Rockefeller Foundation turned into the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Right.
And, you know, he probably just put his wife in there just to sound a little more progressive and a little more innocent. Like, this is just a guy and his wife just making this fun little foundation. We're just helping all these people and it's going to be nothing but good things. And when you look at them, they don't seem like serial killers. They really don't. They seem like it, Bill Gates seems like this little nerd that's never had sex in his life. And, you know, it's just this weird vibe that you get. But that just screams like a sociopath to me, you know, and like you see him slip up and say, we need to increase childhood death and we need to taking these needles and jabbing them in a kid's arms and things like that. It's terrifying. And all that it needs is like just creepy horror music behind it. And it might change people's perception of it.
Think about this, though. He was also quoted as saying that he would never vaccinate his own children.
Yeah.
Now, if you refuse to vaccinate your own children, but you're demanding that everybody else vaccinate theirs, I have a huge problem with that. That's sure. when you know, turn the other way and run. And I also want to say, on your theory that you said, it's not far-fetched and it's not crazy about people that could live with no sunlight and stuff. And here's why. Because the CDC in their own information just came out with how to protect yourself in a zombie apocalypse. The shit is on their website. You can look this up. And it talks about it kind of like in a humorous way, but also not really in a humorous way of, you know, things you need to do to prepare for zombies coming. And
well, we're talking predictive programming here.
Yeah. And here's the thing is if you're creating this group of people where you've changed their DNA, they're not going to need sunlight. They're not going to need the nutrients, the vitamins and stuff like that. All the meat sources are going to go away because he's buying up all the land. But there's also been reports of people where they found, you know, like some naked dude like chowing down on a guy's face
in Florida, right?
Yeah. And I was like, that's weird that the CDC just posted about the zombie apocalypse and now you got people like eating faces and stuff. That's so Brandon, I love you. I hope you don't have a significant other that you're going to wake up and start chomping on or gnawing on, but you never know.
I feel you. I wonder though, how they're going to get me with the Z virus if viruses don't exist, Janet. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, thank you. Thank you for the love,
Janet.
That
is actually a fair point.
Thank you. Thank you for the well wishes there, Janet. I appreciate it.
So, you know, are you talking about, Janet, with the zombie thing? Are you talking about the one that happened a while ago in Florida, or is there something that happened more recently with the zombie thing? Because I did hear that they were testing mRNA vaccines on homeless people.
On homeless people. Ago. Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something you probably don't know. Bill Gates started doing the mRNA vaccination, quote, research at the exact same time that 23andMe started.
Oh, shit.
And so if you think about like all of those families, they're all related to somebody in his foundation or whatnot by marriage, the same people that are involved with Google. And so you have this wide swath DNA collection, which is what they need, because if you think about the coronavirus itself and how it has to be able to attach to like the cells in the pancreas for diabetics or has to attach to the ACE inhibitors for people that have asthma or allergies, COPD, or connect to the heart tissue or anything like that. That DNA was important for their research and study because they had to find a suitable way for the coronavirus to actually take seat into our cells. And so this is research that was done on, you know, his part during that collection. And then, you know, 23andMe kind of went away. And then we started other DNA collection services.
Well, Google
it's all the same thing.
Google has considerable ownership in 23andMe, if I'm not mistaken. And then,
yes, that's what I'm saying.
How do those things work? Like, do you send hair in? Because there was this Gem and Mineral show that I went to, and they have what they called woolly mammoth hair. It was in a bag. I don't know if this is real or not, but I wanted to buy some and send it to 23andMe to see if they would tell me that I was like from the caveman era. You know what I mean? Like, I just wanted to see how real it was or how real this hair was from the woolly mammoth. But I mean, like, how does the genetics work? Is it hair and it's like, or blood or pee?
When they first started it out, it was like a swab of your cheek, your buccal cavity. And then, you know, a lot of them have evolved because so many of the other ones popped up, and it's like ancestry.com, and we can tell you everybody's name in your family all the way back to the beginning of time. I'm just going to call bullshit on that, because my family does not even remember people that came before them. That is not, you know, that is not possible. I'm sorry. You're only going to go back a certain time in history. Like if I submitted like my parents, my grandparents, you know, whatever, because we still share the same DNA. But when you're talking about lineages and stuff, there's no way in hell they can tell you like who came 400 years before you. That's not possible. They're using it, like I said, as a collection process to get more DNA samples, which now include, you know, hair. They can do DNA through fingernail sampling or, you know, whatever the case may be. And these are things that they have to use in the future to have that transfer from a quote animal to a human host. They have to have a way for that quote virus, bacteria, or whatever it is to find a receptor in the human that it's going to attach to. And that's exactly what they've done with the DNA collection.
Yeah, even the
animal jump takes centuries from what I understand.
Yes, it does. It's
very interesting. Go ahead.
Even the techno-optimist here thinks has seen evidence and will accept it that a lot of that 23andMe servicing is just a fatty like little thing that's being offered right now. They've done experiments with twins. So you send you send swabs of twins in and you don't tell 23andMe that they're twins, and it's come back very regularly with, you know, some percentage of Neanderthal like in one of the twins,
right,
and none in the other. I wonder though, is the worst part about that venture that you just mentioned, about Bill Gates and 23andMe, is the worst part the not, like, if they were honest with you that they were trying, that they were getting all that information and putting it into one database for all of these different projects, mm-hmm, if they were honest with you about that, would that be enough to be like, okay, well, at least you're not doing that, and I still don't accept you and like you as a person, but this venture, if at least it's open and honest, is that enough to quell any kind of thoughts about this being, you know, I'm guessing you think that this is like part of a pyramid of like satanic, you know, pedophiles kind of thing. So is the cloaking of the truth to you the big problem, or is it really what they're trying to do at the end of the day still that's a bigger issue for you?
To me, it is the complete and total lies and deceit, because a lot of people are so snowed thinking the government would never hurt us. These companies would never hurt us. It's not their intention to do that. They only want to save us, help us, do no harm, et cetera, et cetera. But if you look at the history of even the medical stuff, and you follow what I'm saying with the 23andMe, and not only is it a database, a worldwide database for, you know, like I said, cataloging basically diseases and what genetic mutations you have and what you're carrier for. And, you know, we know now that this many percentage of the population has diabetes. And so the next thing that we're going to release is going to be focused on people that have problems with their pancreas, you know, and that's where I take issue with this, because it's never the surface of what they tell you. It's never for a good purpose. There's always something underlying underneath that makes it worse, just like they do with the medications, where they're like, Brandon, I know you're a smoker and you have, let's say, like emphysema. Okay. Not saying you do, but let's say that you do. So you gave a 23andMe, they know that you have a lung issue. Now they can work on something that's going to attack your lungs. they can develop medications to sell you as a cure for what they just released on you, which is what they do literally all the time. And then the medication that you take for your emphysema is actually going to cause more issues with, say, your stomach lining, your intestinal lining. And they know that. And it's a never ending cycle of things that they cause you, not just from the onset of a disease, but all the way through with your medication process.
And I also know that in this way that you guys think about it, the doctors that you go to see at the ER, or maybe your personal physician, they don't have to be bad people, quote unquote, to be a right. part of this industry.
They just don't know better.
They just don't know better. Right. Who right. then, if you're really actually giving medical advice, because you think the research and the ideas are solidly founded here, give us kind of an example of what, I mean, who as a medical authority do you trust on a daily basis? I'm sure you, I don't know if you take any kind of medication at all, and I don't know if it's...
I trust myself.
Yeah, I was going to say yourself. Yeah.
Because, you know, I especially stay away from any time the government says, here is the food pyramid, and this is what you're supposed to have every single day. And guess what? The diabetes, the heart stuff, all of that skyrocketed when people started following that pyramid. You have to do your research. You have to know what kind of herbs are good, what kind of natural products that you can use that are going to not only boost your immunity but boost your health. And one of the most important things is your brain gut biome. And it's like a separate, you know, how you have the central nervous system. This is like a secondary system to that, where your gut and your brain communicate. And so when you eat foods that tear down the natural gut biome, it destroys natural bacteria, flora, and stuff like that, which in turn causes your brain to send out signals to the rest of your body. Hey, you need to be really tired all the time. You need to yawn constantly. You need to feel terrible and sluggish, and your muscles need to hurt. And these are the things that they're so like in sync. You should stay away from anything that's fermented, aged, processed, like all kinds of stuff. And you can look up these things that help you. And once you get your system back in regular balance, regular homeostasis, you can get rid of a lot of the medications and crap like that. And then, here's a case in point. Like every time you go to the doctor, because you know you have to go for regular checkups a lot of times now, and they'll say, you know, Ryan, I think you're pre-diabetic. You're pre-diabetic, and everybody in America is pre-diabetic now. And yeah, we're really watching it, and they're trying to push diabetes meds on you, which cause a whole host of other problems to other organs in your body. And so they push this and they push this until one day you finally give in. And so many times they've been like, you're pre-diabetic and, you know, your cholesterol is too high and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I am not taking medication. Not going to do it. I'm like, and then I'd go back and they'd be like, oh my God, what did you do? Cause it dropped like 150 points. And I'm like, Metamucil, vitamin C and vitamin D.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's no way. And I'm like, seriously, that's it. And if I want a Reese cup, I eat one. You know, I like beer. Hello, I still drink beer. And yeah, I still dropped it on my own by doing other things that don't involve that lifetime cycle of, you know, create a problem, sell you a drug, create another problem, sell you another drug.
Well, that's part of the problem in the United States is that, you know, and I love this country. I love everything about it, honestly, but that is a huge problem that we have, is that we want a quick fix. You know, there's more people doing liposuction than just, you know,
right,
laying off the carbs, which, like you mentioned, that old food pyramid, it's telling you to eat like 12 servings of bread a day. And then this is when diabetes and heart disease and stuff goes up until they change it and all that stuff. Brandon will credit Michelle Obama with the changing of the food pyramid, I'm sure.
I'm watching Waffles and Mochi every night. Just want to let you guys know. I watched the whole series, man. It's so good. I was
Well, you know, there was a few things there, too. So, like, with the genetics, where does Anthony Fauci fit into the whole thing? Who, I do believe his ancestor is Mother Teresa. I think that's his mother, personally. That's just my opinion. I don't know if it's true or not. I've seen some interesting things. I don't know where you sit on that, Janet, but where does Fauci fit into this whole thing?
Dr. Anthony Fauci is a shady motherfucker. Dr. Anthony Fauci is also the same person that stole HIV research from two other researchers that had been working on it for a very long time. He imprisoned one of the people, that's Dr. Judy Mikovits, very intelligent lady, but he imprisoned her and held her for 3 years, even though they never charged her, all of this other stuff. But he took her research to publish as his own during the same time is also when he bought shares in a lot of big pharma companies that do HIV drugs.
Well, Luc Montagnier, have you heard of this guy? I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly. This was his partner in the HIV AIDS theory. And he was claiming that HIV is not, or AIDS is not caused by HIV at all. You know, just kind of tying it back to what we were talking about initially.
Right.
It does very much seem like Fauci is just one of those big government whores that is just willing to sell out his mother or his you know, whoever,
for
his country for sure. For profit. You know, he's the highest paid government official. And, you know, he's coming out with a child's book soon, which, you know, I'm going to buy because I do think that it's going to be like one of those books, like the if Heinrich Himmler were to write a child's book, you know, that would be a nice souvenir to have. You know what I mean? Like, if good wins, this guy is going to be freaking in jail. And this is going to be like one of those things, like this is the Fourth Reich propaganda medical industrial complex head.
Right.
Who wrote this children's book for you know, child propaganda. So I just, it's terrifying where, how you say, a lot of the people want someone that they can follow. They want a leader because even though, you know, when you're a child, you move out of your parents' house, you felt some security in your parents' house, then you get out on your own, you're a little nervous. And then that nervousness passes away a little bit because you're out there more, but because you always kind of know that the government is kind of looking after you, right? That's what a lot of people think, in my opinion.
Right.
But then once you kind of break through that and you're like, okay, no one gives a fuck about me. I need to pay attention to what, you know, my doctor doesn't even care about me. Do I need this heart medication or is he giving it to me because he wants to put a down payment on a yacht? You know what I mean? Like that's the scary thing for me. So, I mean, you seem like you've always had your patient's best interest in mind.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how much you want to talk about like any of the crazy kinds of things. You said that you were around some of these very nefarious characters in your career. Yeah. Is there anything you can share about that?
Well, here's a story for you. And they do get kickbacks. They do get benefits, bonuses, trips, things like that, which a nurse can't do because that's a violation of code of ethics. And you can actually be fired for that because it's considered taking a bribe, but the doctors can do it. And
well, you know, sorry not to interrupt you, Janet, but my ex-girlfriend, her dad was a pretty high up in Pfizer, right? And he would take the doctors out to dinner, to lunch. I mean, they
hunting
would
trips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's and insane.
It's okay for them because, they can completely accept that. But like I said, as a nurse, you cannot because it's considered bribery, but the doctor can. And so we have a certain pharmaceutical company that also has one of the vaccines on the market. And they had a drug that they were pushing for depression and other mental health issues.
Zoloft.
No, this was a newer one.
Okay.
And so this drug was on the market. And so he started using it, unbeknownst to him, because he was so swamped. He didn't read package inserts or whatnot. So that's why I started doing that. And so he gave it to several patients. And I had one of these elderly patients call me, and she was like, Janet, she's like, I woke up last night and I was literally standing over my husband of like 65 years with a butcher knife. I was ready to stab him. And she's like, that is not me. And they were like the sweetest couple in the world. And so I'm like, well, you need to come in and, you know, we may need to make a plan. We need to wean you off of that, because that medication is not okay for you at all, which I don't believe in any medications basically, but this is definitely a no. And this, yeah, is
this drug may, this drug may cause irrational thoughts, murder, suicide.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And so she came in and she was on 30 milligrams at the time. And so the doctor tells her, we're going to increase it to 60. And I pulled her aside and I'm like, absolutely do not take that medication. I'm like, I will make you a plan to wean you off of that, because you can't stop those immediately because they cause all kinds of other withdrawal symptoms and issues and stuff. And I'm like, absolutely do not take that. I'm like, I'm telling you as your friend and as a healthcare provider, I'm like, don't do that. Because if 30 is making you want to commit murder, you don't need to double it.
Yeah.
But that's the kind, yeah, that's the kind of stuff that they do. Because like I said, the more you push from that company, and like I said, it was like hunting trips or like all these little short vacations, not to mention the meals that drug reps provide every day.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing is, like the diabetes reps, they would always bring like tons of bags of candy or, you know, like Starbucks, like, what are they called? Like shakes and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, frappuccinos. Any, yeah.
Anything that's really sweet, has lots of sugar in it and stuff. That is what they're trained to do. Diabetes manufacturers giving you shit that's going to cause you to have diabetes.
That's incredible.
So they can sell you their product.
It makes so much sense, though. It's kind of like a crack dealer giving someone their first little rock for free. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's kind of just to grease the wheel a little bit. But I mean, that's crazy. Brandon, you missed what we were talking about. Is like, you know, one of my ex-girlfriends was selling, or I'm sorry, one of my ex-girlfriend's fathers was a Pfizer pharmaceutical rep and would just take these individuals, like the doctors, out on nice dinners and like Janet mm-hmm. was saying, hunting trips, and just, you know, mm-hmm. really kind of bribing them to do what they're doing. And we see that in all kinds of things. You know, the military industrial complex is,
oh, yeah.
is the main problem for a lot of people, liberals yeah. and conservatives. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the medical industrial complex has really kind of slipped by, at least the liberals, in my opinion. Yeah. And that's not a knock on liberals, but Brandon, what were your thoughts?
What ideas then do you put in place, Janet, to explain the rapid increase in population? Because I'm sure you know the mainstream explanation for it is access to better medications. Now, I don't want to ask about what medications you're taking. That would obviously be off too much. But I'm you know, there's penicillin, which they say at least is. That's one that changed the game. I don't know. I mean, that's attacking, you know, bacteria, which is part of the germ theory. So I'm just wondering what do you think would better explain that rapid increase in population if it's not these? Because this is the line that every school kid gets taught these days, right?
Okay, but here's a question. And credit to Ken on Black Pill for this, but how do they know what the population is? Because there are people, like if you drive coast to coast, there are so many areas where there's literally nothing
yeah.
for 8-9 hours. There's no towns. There's nothing. There's no houses. There's nothing. And then they're telling you, well, the world population is blah, blah, blah. And so we have to decrease it. And if you think about it in the context that you can lie with numbers, right? Everybody knows that. You can lie with analytics of any kind. But if you have 100 cows, you can control 100 cows a lot better than if you had 10,000. And sure. So them saying, oh my God, like, don't repopulate, don't have babies, ladies, or if you get pregnant, you should murder them with abortion, because you should control all of that so that we don't get any bigger, because, oh my God, we're expanding so fast. But if you build sterilization into vaccinations, you push abortion, you create diseases that kill people, you don't have to worry about the world population because they're taking care of it for you already. And so to me, is there a population boom? No, there's not. Like, you have countries like China that you can have one child and that's it. Yeah. You know, and that's to me, like, it is another falsity that they put forward telling you that we're way overpopulated. And so we have to reduce it. Yes, it's fear porn. Just like
I saw this very interesting projection of the world population, which I think is just over 7 billion. The countries in the United States here are just over 330 million. And then I saw this projection, 2024, which is after the clinical trials of the COVID vaccine would be ending. The world population isn't much changed. It's gone down to 6 point something billion. And then the United States was the scary part, where it went from 330 something million down to just over 100 million. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know if this is people that took the vaccine, people that didn't take the vaccine and died. It's hard to say. And it's hard to say how accurate these projections are, just like you were saying. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I feel like the social credit score is going to come in a big part of what you were saying. Like, you know, the example that you used of me being pre-diabetic, mm-hmm. Which again, probably am. Who knows? I drink a lot of alcohol.
That's what they tell everybody.
Yeah, that's why I haven't gone to the doctor in years. You know what I mean? I haven't gone to the dentist in years. I've got great teeth. You know, great teeth. So we got a serious problem though with the social credit score idea here, where I don't know if you've, obviously we all buy alcohol pretty often here, but if you notice lately, they scan your driver's license rather than even looking at it. They used to, when I first started buying alcohol, they'd look at your ID, they'd look at you, they'd look at your ID again, and they'd manually enter your birthday. Now they just scan it. So
yeah,
it's getting your name.
Some places do that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's getting your name. It's getting your state. It's getting your age. It's getting how often you're buying. So that is going to incorporate into your health credit score.
Who owns the company?
What's that?
Who owns the company where you're buying alcohol at?
Well, I mean, Circle K does it. Walgreens does it. Circle K is a gas station. I don't know if they got those over there, but just all over, you know, big major companies.
Look into who owns those corporations. And that'll explain to you why it is they're scanning your ID. Because that's exactly what it is. And the same thing of why they had to implement the 6-foot distance.
Sure.
Because that is important in like China to implement, you know, their social system that they have going on, because that helps them with facial recognition and stuff when there's nobody else around you. And they do that. And think about, like, Amazon implemented the same thing in their warehouses, and they have the scanning technology where they can keep track of you and how close you are to other people at all times. And I just want to say, Jeffrey Bezos, Lord and God and Savior that he is as well, he has contracts with the Pentagon and has had for quite a while now for different AI technologies and you know, developing things for the military industrial complex. And so anytime you have people like that that are involved in and will be deciding your future, whether it's a COVID passport, where there's the social credit scores, I'm going to be fucked because I drink, I smoke. And, you know, very outspoken. So I'm going to be one of those people in the future where they're going to be like, oh, sorry, you're just absolutely fucked. Like, you're on the bottom rung and you can have a piece of bread.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the problem.
You know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. And that's my dad actually brought that up to me, to where it's like, you know, it's very interesting how they're starting to really kind of, it seems, keep track of what you're doing. They're trying to, seems, program people into getting away from your fast foods, which, you know, they're fast food shit anyway. They should have been doing that a long time ago. But they have this false idea where like the soy based burgers are going to be healthier than the meat based burgers. And they're not. They're just.
No, vegan, it's worse, you know what I mean? For you. Soy is actually worse for you. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And it's got a lot of estrogen in it. So it's going to increase your body fat, and then it's going to increase the odds of cancer too.
And I was just going to say, you're going to see a huge uptick, mark my words on this, on males that are getting cancer because we're pushing soy lattes and soy this and soy that.
Hey guys, that is going to do it for the free portion of this episode. As always, the full-length episodes are available on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. And for only $3 a month, you'll get access to all of our full-length episodes, as well as a whole bunch of more fun stuff that we have going on there. Please look us up there, and as always, stay safe in the dangerous world.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.